Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Kings. I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 4, and we'll read that verse there that we've been looking at. And then we're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter number 18 for the message tonight. Psalms chapter 4. I should be able to quote this by now, shouldn't I? Okay. Stand in awe, right? Sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Read it with me, would you please? Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Back over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18, I went to bed at almost midnight. I guess that would have been Monday night. It would have been. It was almost midnight, and I couldn't sleep. So I got up, and I just looked back over here in this chapter, and I thought, my goodness, there's so much there. And the Lord began to stir my heart, and tonight I want to stand in awe in the first part of this chapter, and I hope it'll be a blessing. I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. The Bible said in verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and what's those next two words? I will. Boy, God got my attention right there. I will. He said, I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Let's pray just a moment. Father, would you help us tonight? Because, Lord, we desire to be a help. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be a blessing, be a help to our people. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for how you're stirring in my heart, in my life. Lord, I know that many times, our Father, we've been guilty of just glossing over and reading through things. And, Lord, we've heard it all of our lives. But, Father, we know tonight that, Lord, you do want us to stand in awe and sin not and be still, commune with our own heart upon our bed. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Meet every need, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The first thing I want to say tonight is when God says, I will, what does that mean? It means he will, amen. You might say, well, preacher, I don't know why we should stand in awe of that. Well, I just, listen, it's over 1,000 times in the Word of God the Bible says, I will. Now, and that's not always God saying that. But I just went through and picked up a few tonight. And every time that God says, I will, either you could say, he did, or did he, or will he. In other words, if God said, I will, Brother Ike, he's either already done it or he will. Amen. And the first thing I want to look at tonight, I call it the promise of God's word. In the first part of the chapter, God said, I will send rain upon the earth. You say, now, preacher, that's so elementary. Well, how about this? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say when God told Ahab, when he told Elijah to go look up Ahab, and he said it's going to rain, Elijah took God at his word. Elijah was not afraid to go against those prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and Elijah was not afraid to look for the rain. In verse number 1, he said, I will send rain upon the earth. Go show thyself to Ahab. I will send rain upon the earth. If you go over to verse number 41, the Bible said, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. And I don't know how I missed this, but for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. You remember when Elijah went up there and he sat down and put his head between his knees, and he sent the servant out 7 times and said, go look. And the 7th time he came back, and he said, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah knew then that was a kind of, I guess, a sign from God. But it looks to me like that Elijah was hearing something before he ever saw it. Amen? You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, are we listening for something? How many believes we're going to hear something the world ain't going to hear? We're going to hear a trumpet. Amen? And God said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I think we should just, even in this one chapter, just stand in awe that when God makes a promise, you can take that to the bank. He's never going to break that promise. I looked at just a few of them. Let me give them to you, and I'll move right on to the second thing in the message. Over in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Let me ask you a question. Did he? He sure did, didn't he? Amen. I will. And he did. In Genesis 3:15, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Did he? Amen. Between thy seed and her seed. Of course he did. What I'm trying to get us to see tonight, if God said, I will, either he already has, or you can mark it down, he will. The promises of God in him are yea. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Ladies, that's a good time for you to say amen. When God said, I will, ain't that right? He did exactly what he said he would do. In Genesis 6 and 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Question, did he? Both man and beast and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Genesis 6:13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In Genesis 12, he made Abraham a promise. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. What I'm trying to get us to see tonight is just two little words that we can read over, I will, and ought to thrill our hearts tonight to know that what God has said, he either has performed or he will perform it in accordance with his will and his word. In Genesis 12 and 3, he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now notice Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call unto me. God's people ought to get excited right here. Has God ever answered a prayer for you? He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thank God tonight for his promise. Jesus said, I got excited about this. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God saved me in 1987. I've been fishing ever since. Amen. God said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said, thou art Peter in Matthew 16:18. He said, upon this rock, I will. How many believes he's still building a church? I will build my church, he said, in the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said this. He said, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. How many believes everybody's ever come to Jesus got in? Amen. Amen? They got in. Jesus didn't cast them out. In John 6:40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You say, well, preacher, you ain't been raised up yet. I know, but I will. Hallelujah. It's the promise of God. Amen. It's the promise of God. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He hadn't done that yet. You see what I'm getting at here tonight? I believe, Brother John, you touched on this in Sunday school not too long ago, how old Slewfoot wants to come along and make us want to start questioning. And over there in the book of Peter, I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 3, they said, where is the promise of his coming? I tell you where it is. It's in the Word of God. Amen. And God said, I will. And when he promises, it's either already happened or mark it down. It's fixing to. Amen. I like that. Don't you? That thrills my heart. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How many can say he came to me?
Amen. When I could not come to where he was, thank God Almighty, he came to me. Amen. I believe that. He's not going to leave his people comfortless. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That ought to thrill us tonight, that the likes of him would come and live in the likes of us. Amen? That's what he said he would do, and that's what he's done. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hebrews 13:5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things if you have, as you have. For he has said, I will. Brother Gary, I believe that's one of your favorite verses. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. You know, that's what we're praying for, Brother Wayne, that Jesus will knock and a young man will open the door. Amen. And you don't have to worry about God doing his part. He said, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Revelation 21:6, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life, the fountain of life, freely. Amen. I will. You ever been thirsty? Thank God he'll bless them that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then notice this in Revelation 21 and verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. This is the last I will in the Bible. He said, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Glory to God, we're going to get to see the whole bride one day. Amen. The bride's going to get together and, my friend, get yoked up with the bridegroom at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a blessing that's going to be. Well, that's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. Two little words just jumped out at me. I will. And then he said, send rain upon the earth. Well, let me tell you this. The same God that made the promise to Elijah made these promises to you and made these promises to me. And just like Elijah acted upon the promises of God, you and I ought to act upon the promises of God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so the first thing tonight that I see in the message is the promise of God's word, how that we ought to be, my friend, standing in awe of the promises of God's word. Now I'm going to give you this tonight. I think this is important. I had not picked up on it, but God woke me up and wouldn't let me go to sleep, and I want to show you something else. The Bible said here, not only are we looking at the promise of God's word, but there's two ways that I could word this. I want you to see the persuasion of God's man, but that could also apply to the persuasion of God's people. How many of you all believe that we can persuade others? You say, now, preacher, you got Bible for that? I believe I do. I didn't write down the reference, but I know it's over there in the book of Corinthians. The Apostle Paul said this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what he said. I believe we ought to be in the persuading business. Say amen. I believe parents ought to be persuading their children not to go the way of this world. Amen. Now listen, you can't make them, but I believe you ought to be having an influence on them. Amen. And persuading them to do the right thing. I want to show you in the Word of God here what the Lord spoke to my heart about. The Bible said in Ahab called Obadiah. I like this fellow, Obadiah, which was governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. How many knows that's no small feat? He's got 100 men to hide and 100 men to help. Amen. He's going to feed them with bread and water at risk of his own life. How many knows Obadiah is going to die if Jezebel finds it out? Amen. But you know what? I believe if people are serious about fearing God and serving God, then, beloved, they're like old Esther. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Amen. I just got to go in there and do what's right. Amen. And if I die doing it, then that's the way it's got to be. The Word of God said here, Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land under all the fountains of the waters and all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. It's getting bad. There's a sore famine. And what Ahab's doing, saying, Obadiah, you go that way and I'll go this way. Let's see if we can find some grass. See if we can find a water hole or something. Now watch this. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went the other way by himself. And as Obadiah, I love this, I never caught this before, was in the way. Glory to God. A man that fears God's walking in the way. You remember over there when Abraham sent out his servant. His servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Here's another man, Obadiah, that's in the way. You and I ought to strive, beloved, to walk in the way. Amen. God might bless us and use us. As Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him. He said, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. Now, I want you to listen to this conversation. I'm showing you a man of God, Elijah, that's persuading Obadiah to do what needs to be done. Watch this now. And he answered and said, go tell thy Lord, in verse 8, behold, Elijah's here. And he said, what? Have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there's no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. In other words, Obadiah knows that Ahab has already been looking for Elijah, and he can't find him anywhere. Now watch, let's read the story. And when he said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Look at verse 12. And it shall come to pass. I'm telling you, Obadiah is thinking this thing over. He said, it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. Can you see what's on Obadiah's mind? He's afraid God's going to carry Elijah off somewhere. He's going to go tell Ahab, Elijah's here. Ahab's going to come, and Elijah ain't going to be there, and Ahab's going to kill him. That's what he's afraid of. But watch this. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so, when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. And listen to me, I'm not trying to put words in Obadiah's mouth, but I believe the way he would say it in our vernacular is like this. Are you kidding me? You want me to go tell Ahab that you're here? Are you kidding me? He's going to kill me, because just as sure as we're standing here talking, the Spirit of God will catch you away somewhere. Elijah must have had a reputation of being called away by the Spirit. Say amen. And Obadiah knew it. Now watch what the Bible said. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely... Oh boy, I just got another I will right there. In other words, God made a promise and said, I will, and it was good. And now the man of God's going to make a promise, and he says, I will, and it was good. He said, I will surely show myself unto him today. So, what did Obadiah do? He went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Here's what I'm trying to say. The Lord spoke to my heart about this. We ought to stand in awe of the promises of God. But we ought to stand in awe as our responsibility to persuade others to do what God wants them to do. Amen? Listen, that's our responsibility. You remember over there when they went in and they took the spoil? I don't remember the details of the story, but I remember these words. They said, we do not well. In other words, if they just held that to themselves and kept that to themselves, the rest of the people were hungry, the rest of the people needed food, and they said, we do not well. And beloved, I believe tonight that if we're not persuading others in our family and our friends and our acquaintances their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not doing well. Amen. I believe we ought to persuade them with our life. I believe we ought to persuade them with our literature. I believe we ought to persuade them with our lips, the words that we say. There ought to be a lie that backs it up. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now you say, preacher, I don't know what all this has got to do with anything. Well, look how God's putting it together. God's using Obadiah. God's going to use Obadiah to get Elijah and Ahab on the same plane, or in the same place, that there might be this contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God that God used people in my life to persuade me. God used my daddy. Even when my daddy wasn't a saved man, he was a moral man. Even when my daddy didn't know Jesus, amen, he was a man of integrity. He was a man of character. Daddy didn't know what a contract was. If he told a man he was going to do something and shook his hand, he done what he told the man he would do. Say amen. He taught me something, amen. And beloved, I tell you what, if you do have a contract, you better read the print frontwards and backwards. Say amen. A lot of them's got a lot of loopholes in them. But I tell you, you know I'm telling it right. Years ago, a man could shake hands and whatever he said, that's what he meant. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that we ought to be in the persuading business. I appreciate my pastor, the one I was saved under. Appreciate Brother Danny, the one I was under before I came here. I just appreciate men of God that have persuaded me through the years. I can give you one example. I was telling Coulter about this not too long ago because I believe he needed to hear it. Coulter's a good man. He's got a good heart. And I was working a job, doing a whole lot in the church, had two radio programs, and driving the van, teaching the adult men's Sunday school class. I mean, I had a lot going on, working a full-time job. There's a little widow lady in the church, tried to give me a couple dollars to help me on the radio broadcast. And I refused it. And my pastor saw it. I said, honey, it's okay. I'm working. We're all right. We'll take care of this. And my pastor saw it. And when he saw it, he didn't like it. And it didn't take long for him to let me know he didn't like it. He let the lady go on out of the church with her whatever it was, just a few dollars. She was a widow woman. She didn't have much, but she was wanting to help me on a radio broadcast. Listen to me tonight. My pastor persuaded me that I didn't need to do that no more. He looked at me and he said, do you know what you just done a while ago? I said, what, Pastor? He said, when you refused that money that lady wanted to give you on that radio, I said, no, I just told her I didn't need it, Pastor. He said, you know what you done? He said, you robbed that woman of a blessing. He said, son, that woman wouldn't have done that if she hadn't have prayed about it and God hadn't have put it on her heart. She is trying to help you, trying to help the work of the Lord. He said, preacher, why would you bring that up? He was in the persuading business. Say amen. You see, here I am, it's over 30 years later, and I ain't forgot it. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart we ought to all have some lessons in our life that some man of God has helped us along the way, or our father, or our mother, somebody's had an influence in our life and persuaded us towards the things of God. I believe there's a difference in persuading and pushing. Amen. I don't believe you can push somebody, but I believe you can persuade somebody. Amen. For the Lord. And here Elijah persuaded Obadiah to do what needed to be done. Let me give you this tonight and I'm done. I see the promise of God's word and I stand in awe of that. I see the persuasion of God's man or God's people and I stand in awe of that. I thought about something. I need to touch on this for just a minute, and then I'll go on. You know, a lot of times I think, especially when a pastor's been around 7 years, you get to know me and I get to know you. But I want you all to think about something. Just for example, if I'm preaching on same-sex marriage, do you know I realize, beloved, that that's going to touch somebody's home? Listen to me. Maybe not the marriage, but let's just say sodomy. You know, I realize But let me ask you this. Have you ever sat there and realized maybe it's already touched mine? You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say it's wrong whether it's going on in your home or my home. Whether it's my grandchildren that's being exposed to it or whether it's your children. In other words, beloved, listen, if I'm preaching against liquor, did you ever sit there and stop and think, beloved, listen, that maybe there's some experience? I'm not proud of that. But I'm telling you it's wrong, whether it's in my life or somebody else's life. It's wrong. It's wrong. And I just want you to understand tonight that when a man of God is standing preaching and trying to persuade people, that don't mean, beloved, that he's never been exposed to it or he don't battle with the things that he's preaching about. I'm telling you, we all do. But we can't just go around the issues. We have to preach the whole counsel of God. I don't believe you need to get up and preach on sodomy every Sunday morning or drunkenness every Sunday morning or shacking up every Sunday morning. But I do believe when you get to a verse like, how long halts you between two opinions? That's what's going on in this world. There's stuff right there. Did we come from a monkey or did God create us? Is it right for a man to be up in front of a bunch of people kissing another man? No, it's not right. It's against nature. It's against God. It's an abomination. It don't matter whose home it's going on in. It's kind of like, listen to me, I'm not trying to be crude tonight, but about everybody in here, your home has been touched by cancer. If God lets this world go on another 10 or 15 years, every home will be touched by sodomy. Somebody's got a friend trying to persuade them right now that that's acceptable in the eyes of God. It might be acceptable in society, beloved, but it'll never be acceptable in the eyes of God. Killing the babies might be acceptable in society, but it'll never be acceptable in the eyes of God. You say, preacher, what are you preaching? I'm talking about how we're supposed to persuade. And let me say this, not saying anything about it puts a man guilty. The man will stand and open this book and won't preach what's in this book. He's guilty of not persuading. I believe we ought to get between men and women and boys and girls and the gates of hell and try to persuade them. No, don't go this way. Point them to Calvary. Go that way. Go that way. Young man right now, I've been praying for, and I'm telling you, beloved, if he don't get his life turned around, he'll be the next one behind bars. And it's such a waste, and it kills me. But I'll say this. I know there's at least one man in this building tonight. It's the grace of God he ain't behind bars. I can only speak for one. But I'm going to try to persuade. Amen. If you're carrying the scars tonight of sin, you know what you'll do? You'll spend the rest of your life trying to persuade others not to get all scarred up. Amen. Why would we want them to carry the same scars? Well, praise God. The persuasion of God's men. I'll guarantee you tonight, people don't think about it like that. People sit out there and they think he's some holy Joe up there telling us what we ought to do. I'm telling you, beloved, if we're preaching the Word of God, God's telling us all what we ought to do. And he's trying to persuade us. Amen. Elijah persuaded. I stand in awe how that God has come through in my life and persuaded me to do the right thing. Then I want to give you this, and I'm done tonight. I saw the promise of God's Word. It's getting almost 2 o'clock in the morning. When I saw this, I saw the pardon of God's grace. He said, preacher, what do you mean? How many realize this, beloved? I tried to look it up, and Brother Larry, I couldn't find it. I wanted to know what the population of the children of Israel was at this time, and I can't even find an estimate of what the population. Now, that don't mean it ain't there, but I couldn't find it. But there's a bunch of people in the children of Israel. Y'all understand that in the nation. Now, I'm relatively sure about this. I won't be dogmatic about it. But in verse number 19, the Bible said, "Gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400. That makes 850 false prophets. Do y'all see that right there? Some of them belong to Jezebel, some of them belong to Ahab. Now, when you get over to verse number 41, the Bible said, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, I hear the..." No, excuse me, I need to go back to verse number 39. When all the people saw it, this is when the fire fell in verse number 38. They fell on their faces, they said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." And Elijah said unto them, the ones that are crying out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." You know what God has done? He's forgiven them. He has pardoned them. They've been following it. How long halt ye between two opinions? That's what Elijah said. How can you stay hung up here? If God is God, serve Him. And if He's not, if Baal is God, then serve Him. And that's when the contest began. Well, after the contest is over, who do these people believe? They believe God. The fire fell. Now, God, He had pardoned them. Watch in verse number 40. "And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." You see that? "And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there." Beloved, let me just say this to you tonight. You might not grasp this tonight. I believe you will. But every one of them deserved to die. Every one of us deserved to die. Every one of them deserved to be slain that day. But God pardoned all but those prophets, those false prophets. He pardoned them and given them another opportunity. You know, throughout the Old Testament, you can look and look, and it's over and over. They would go back and sin, and God would chastise them, and they'd come back to God. They'd go back and sin, and God would chastise them. They'd come back to God. I'm going to tell you what God is. God is long-suffering. God is merciful. Amen. And there's a bunch of us sitting here in prayer meeting tonight, or standing here tonight, that can say God is merciful. If He had not have been merciful, we would not have been here. I see the pardon of God's grace. As a result of the fire falling, they were no longer halted between two opinions. They said, "The Lord." Look at it. The people saw it in verse 39. They fell on their faces. They said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." I'm glad there come a time in my life when I got it nailed down. The Lord Jesus, He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's soon coming. Amen. Thank God that He is. I stand in awe tonight of the promise of God's Word, the persuasion of God's men. I didn't ask you a while ago. I meant to. It slipped my mind. To pray for Coulter. Coulter's over there tonight preaching to the teens and the children over there tonight. I told, who was it, Bob the other day. I said, I pray you don't scare them to death. Say amen. Some of them youngins ain't even been over here in the big church yet. Amen. I pray you don't scare them to death. But I tell you what I believe. I believe God will use him. I believe he's prayed about what God wants him to tell him. And I believe the Lord will use him. Amen. And tonight, I stand in awe. The promise of God's Word, the persuasion of God's man. God might use Colder tonight right over there to persuade some young life not to go that way, not to go the way of the world, not to go to jail. A whole lot better on this side of the bars, ain't it, Brother Wayne, than it is the... Wait till you get in there and done ruined your life. Amen. And then the pardon of God's grace. as a result of the fire falling. I was talking to Brother John the other day on the phone. He was telling me about a meeting that he and Brother Jerry had. I think it was up towards Nicholsville, wasn't it, Brother? Was it back in that way? And tell me how that God blessed, how that people come out of them hills and hollers. And Brother John said it wasn't a place that looked like that you'd want to set up a tent and try to have a meeting. But God showed up. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Where he shows up, that's where we want to be, ain't it? Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?